This is Jones and Keefe.
I'll just tell you that they play great defense. They're very sound. They're good tacklers. They're physical. They get off the field on third down. They're good in the red zone. They run the football. It's a physical football team. They possess the football. They lead the NFL in time of possession.
They have
good, very good quarterback play. They're well coached. They play with technique and fundamentals. The game, it doesn't. They don't panic, you know, one way or the other. They kind of stick to their game plan and wear you down and execute in critical situations. So, a lot of respect for them. Certainly, what they've done in a short amount of time.
Jones and Keefe, right now on WEEI.
Are you ready to get in the Pats and Chargers, Keith?
I'm ready, Jones. It's playoff week. Pats and Chargers, playoffs.
Playoffs.
Very excited. Can I tell you one thing I already don't love about how people are talking about the game?
No. What are they saying?
I only heard us.
There's a lot of people citing. I heard Ty Law talking about this morning.
I heard that too.
There's a lot of people citing, like, it's going to be cold here.
It's going to be cold. Oh, wear a hat?
They're going west to east and all this stuff. Yeah. And I'm like, all right, well,
wear some gloves.
I just think the Patriots are better than the Chargers. But, like, if you got to start reaching for other factors, like, oh, well, the Chargers have a long way to travel. And, oh, well, they're going to be out in the elements. I'm like, I just think they should beat the Chargers straight up.
It's going to be a weather game.
I don't think you need to lean on any of that stuff, though. I think you're good enough to not lean on any of that stuff.
I don't think you're going to need the bells and whistles. In fact, I don't know. There's a chance that could go against you. That could go the other way. Like, I don't know how many, like Drake May, for example, we've highlighted it when he's had the opportunity. He hasn't had a ton of them to play in colder games. And he's been good. Like, this whole year he was good. So it's not like for years and years and years when the Patriots were already established and you had a dome team like Indy or Houston coming to New England, you were like, good luck. Like, you have no chance. You're used to playing in room temperature conditions and everything's perfect. You come to New England, it's, you know, snowing sideways and you got to, like, shovel a spot to kick a field goal. Like, those teams, the game was already lost. I don't think it's going to be anything like that. And we don't know yet if this Patriots team can take advantage of that. We don't know if it's this huge home field advantage yet.
It's a good point. So
they were road warriors, for God's sake.
Look, all those things, I think, on some level matter. The Chargers are in a tough spot having to go west to east.
Sure.
And I'm sure they'd rather play in front of zero fans like they normally do in L.A.
Yeah.
In a big empty dome.
Patriots fans in L.A.
And, you know, in perfect condition. Like, all those things are factors. I feel like a lot of people are starting there with this matchup, and I'm like,
I like the matchup a lot. This game could be played on the moon. It could be played on Mars. I like this matchup a lot. We look at the wild card teams in the AFC. This is the best opponent, and that's not always the case. I mean, you are the two seed, so in theory, you should play the weakest of the wild card teams, but we know with tiebreakers and everything else that it's not always the case, but I think it worked out that way. You get to avoid Josh Allen. You get to avoid the Houston Texans defense, at least in the first round anyway. And you get this Chargers team, which is pretty underwhelming to me. Like, they were 11-6. They were kind of cruising along this year. And you were like, yeah, they'll be one of the playoff teams. I never thought they were going to win the division over the Broncos. But you're like, yeah, they seem to be firmly a playoff team. Jim Harbaugh's a good coach. Justin Herbert's a good quarterback. But they don't scare you at all. Like, if they were in Jacksonville, I'd pick Jacksonville. If they were in Buffalo, I'd pick Buffalo. Like, I don't think the Chargers are one of the teams that really has a legit chance this postseason.
So, I would agree. I don't find the Chargers overly threatening. And you can discuss 617-779-7937. We'll start getting into the matchup all day long here today on Jones and Keefe. Already getting texts on the text line. Again, 617-779-7937. Guys, you should start with the Celtics today. We're not. But we'll get to the Celtics later on. Your second place in the East,
man.
Boston Celtics.
Looking pretty good.
Zero problems with the Bulls last night.
My guy Simons was good.
He was. So we'll get to that coming up. It's Tier Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. We're going to tier off the NFL playoff teams. I think you know the Chargers are going to be pretty low based on this conversation.
But according to the caller yesterday, they have really good chemistry between the coaches and the players.
Chemistry off the charts.
Yeah.
Something's got to give.
Maybe that might be another tier.
So that is tiers at 11:30. Tommy Tuesday with Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston at high noon. And we got a key for madness for you at 12:45. So stay tuned for all that. You can interact Twitter and Instagram, Jones and Keefe. Keep an eye out there for the tiers later on today. You can watch and chat twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always, and I mean always, a healthy chat going on Twitch. Do the same on YouTube. Watch there, chat there. You can subscribe to WEEI. We don't find the Chargers overly threatening. we called it yesterday, a borderline ideal matchup, I think, and really an ideal draw for the Patriots to start with the Chargers, maybe get Jacksonville or even Pittsburgh. I wouldn't want Houston in the next round. Yeah. And then you got to go to Denver in an AFC title game. I don't find the Broncos themselves threatening. I don't like the spot of having to go to Denver.
Or, like, you could host Buffalo. Like, true. I think a realistic possibility is you play Pittsburgh or
somebody
Houston
else
in the next
knocks
round.
Off Denver and you're hosting the AFC title
right.
game.
Yep. And maybe I'm not giving Jacksonville enough credit, and maybe they're going to be like the sleeper team this year and then go all the way. But if Buffalo knocks them off, I think they would then have the confidence to maybe go into Denver, beat Denver, and then you never leave Gillette Stadium on your way to the Super Bowl.
So I think it's a good draw. I don't find the Chargers overly threatening. They're banged up. You know, Justin Herbert has, it's his non-throwing hand.
Yeah.
But he's been playing with a broken finger. They rested last week, which I think is dumb. I mean, I get if you want to start your guys for like a quarter and then sit guys down, but I would still want to throttle up going into the playoffs instead of trying to treat it like a bye week. I think what the Eagles did is dumb. I think what the Bills did is dumb. I think the Chargers are in the same boat. I guess we'll see with all those teams.
Yep.
But I wouldn't have treated this like a bye week. If guys are out there and they can play, I would have had them playing. I always said that about the Patriots when Brady was here. I didn't want him in bubble wrap in the final week of the year. And I don't like that approach from the Chargers. They have no tackles on the offensive line. Their running backs, Amarian Hampton, is back. He's been dinged up. They've had receivers in and out of the lineup, Quentin Johnston, all year long. Their defense is pretty good and playing well, but I like the Patriots' offense better. So I like this matchup. Let me ask it another way, though.
All right.
Who has more pressure on them to win?
I think it's probably the Chargers, actually. And so you'd say, well, you know, one team is the two seed. They're at home and they're favored. Not by a ton of points, but they are favored. So it should be them. I think it's more the Chargers just because it always goes to quarterback or coach quarterback combo. And Justin Herbert has only had two playoff games under his belt so far in his career. So even that number is probably a little light. And he's 0-2, and he's coming off one of the worst performances a quarterback can have in a playoff game last year. So if he goes to 0-3, now that's like a real thing. Like, it's already kind of stuck to him, but it's like two games.
Oh, Ken hates him. Ken reminded me of this the other day when I was walking past his office. He's like, oh, yeah, the Chargers. He's like, I hate Herbert. I can't stand Herbert. He's a loser.
So
and
Herbert,
like, he has only lost two games, but that does start to stick to you real early.
Yeah, and I don't know if, like, I wouldn't call him a loser. I do think he got kind of like pushed up into the Mahomes, Allen, Jackson, Burrow talk for a little bit. And I don't know if that was right. And so he's probably a clear tier below all those guys. Maybe even two, depending on how you're feeling. And but he's got a winning record in his career, right? He took over as a starter pretty early on his rookie year and has been out there ever since. Third time in the playoffs in 6 years, and I guess one of them he got hurt in. But so, you know, he makes the playoff half the time, but hasn't won yet. And so that's going to stick with him for a little longer. Jim Harbaugh, also an older coach. So, like, Harbaugh, Herbert have been doing it a lot longer than Drake May and Mike Vrabel. So based on that, I would say a little bit more pressure on those guys.
So I think there is more pressure on the Chargers. And I don't know if that's a good thing for the Patriots. This whole, and I fell into this yesterday, well, it's a successful year no matter what. It is, but that doesn't mean you don't have to win this game and there's no consequences to it. You're not consequence-free if you lose this game. And we spent a lot of time on this yesterday. Everybody who brought up the schedule, the Cam Newtons of the world, and you've played nobody, and you know you're this team that has beaten up on an easy schedule, they're going to come out of the woodwork and yell about it all offseason. And you'll have to validate it with 9 or 10 more wins next year and going back to the playoffs to shut everybody up. You can shut them all up, I think, with a win on Sunday.
Yeah.
Maybe there are those out there that think they need to go even further. I don't. I think you shut everybody up with a win over the Chargers. It's a good team. You're the two seed. You would prove it. And so there's not zero stakes to this, and it's all gravy and no consequences. But I do think there's less pressure on the Patriots because of what we talked about yesterday. It is a successful year no matter what. If Herbert goes to the playoffs and loses again, and Jim Harbaugh goes to the playoffs back-to-back years, and now he hasn't won a playoff game, there is going to be a lot more pressure on those guys. And the one thing I'll say the Chargers have going for them, if you want to talk about the spot, like going west to east, playing in the elements, if you want to talk about the spot, I do think the Chargers are going to be more desperate.
Yeah, I would think so, too. And for them, like, everybody points to Josh Allen, and they're like, hey, all these quarterbacks are out of the playoffs. It's your time to win now, right, with Mahomes, Burrow, and Lamar being out. I think you can apply the same thing to Justin Herbert. Be like, you don't have to play against one of those guys on your way to even a playoff win. Like, I don't think anybody's even talking about Super Bowl or the Chargers. They're just saying, like, can they get their first win? They haven't won a playoff game since 2018, and they've only won, I think, two in the last two decades or whatever it is. Like, it's been a long time for the Chargers to have kind of deep runs in the postseason. So, yeah, with that, I think there's a lot of pressure because I don't think the thought was, hey, I wonder if Harbaugh and Herbert can make the playoffs. Like, no, they already did that last year. And they have an identical record as they do in the regular season. If anything, I think this version, they were 11-6 both years, but I think across the board, this year's team is worse than last year's team.
I would agree.
But then they got smashed in the playoffs last year.
So the two playoff appearances for Herbert, and you said there was a third year where they qualified for the playoffs and he was the quarterback and somebody else must have quarterbacked the playoff game.
No. I'm saying this is his third.
I'm sorry. This is his third appearance. Yeah. That makes more sense. Yeah. Sorry. So the first two, they're up 27-0 against Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars.
Yeah.
And they blew that lead. Herbert's statistics in that actually look okay.
No, they weren't terrible.
25 out of 43, 273, one touchdown, right, but you didn't close out.
Against the Jaguars.
And then this past year, 14 out of 32, 242, four picks against that Houston defense.
Yeah, got smoked.
I remember very well because I bet Houston in that game.
They got smoked.
And they got pounded. It was 32-12. I want to say a couple of those got returned for touchdowns, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was just an awful, awful game out of him and the Chargers. And I do think there's more pressure on them.
Yeah.
If Drake May loses this game, Keith, are you worried at all about how quickly the loser, like the MVP quarterback loser label sticks to him? Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Justin Herbert's never really been like a true MVP candidate. But we mentioned that sticks to Lamar Jackson really quickly.
It does.
That stuck to Herbert really quickly. There is some pressure on May in that regard.
Yeah, there is. I mean, I think it's unfair to have that label after one game. Like that part of it is pretty crazy. But you're right. There is a quick push to that. So Herbert has that label on him. And it's been two games. But it's also what those games look like.
I think he kind of had it even before last year. He had it after one playoff loss, and now they choked that one away. But Herbert had it after one loss.
But also what happens is he lost his playoff game, and then the next year didn't make the playoffs. So, like, that does start to snowball, and that's now multiple seasons. So I don't know if that'll happen right away with Drake May. It's also how he plays. Now, I know from the outside, it's simply, win and loss. Like, what's his record in the playoffs and whatever. But when you dig into Herbert, like blowing a big lead and then throwing four picks and getting smashed, like those are bad performances. If it somehow is a shootout, which I don't expect it to be, but if it ends up being a shootout and you lose, long field goal or something like that, or Herbert has the ball last, I don't think he'll be looked down upon. Plus, I think more and more people are.
I think you're right. It's more about if he plays poorly and loses, not just loses.
Does the defense let him down? Does the kicker miss a kick? Like all that kind of stuff. But does he look like an MVP? And one thing that, certainly the Drake May four MVP supporters are all aware of and others can't really ignore is he doesn't have all pros across the board. He doesn't have all pros on offense. He doesn't have any Pro Bowlers on offense, right? So, like, I think it'll be one of those things where, they're favored to win this game. If they lose, it certainly won't be the end of the world for him. He's going to finish first or second in the MVP. And then it's like, all right, how do you follow that up next year? Because next year, and we haven't done this yet, but their schedule is completely different than this year's schedule. Based on the teams, and obviously there's a lot of changes, and teams can be worse and teams can be better, but just looking at the opponents for next season, nobody is going to question the schedule. In fact, it should go the other way. I hope people are consistent. If he plays well next year, all these like national schedule guys should be like, he's the greatest player of all
time.
He's
beating up on a good schedule.
Yeah. So I don't think it'll get attached to him after one game. At least it shouldn't.
Well, depending on how he plays.
Well, I think that's a factor.
That's an important caveat because it does stick to think about how all you guys out there talk about Lamar Jackson and Justin, just Ken down the hall, how he talks about Justin Herbert.
I know.
It's like with one playoff loss for a lot of these guys, and we look at them as losers and totally different. So that is hanging over May to a degree. I don't expect it to prevent them from winning. I'm picking them against the Chargers on Sunday, and I do like the spot for the Patriots. But beyond that, I just think they're the better team. I think it's a good draw for them. The only thing that makes me a little nervous is the Chargers should be desperate because Harbaugh hasn't won there yet. Herbert hasn't won a playoff game yet in his life. And so, that factor, which is probably more mitigated in a playoff game than a regular season game for sure, everybody should be desperate for a win. I do think there's more urgency on the Chargers side. So not too early in the week to start talking about this game. It's a big one on Sunday night in Foxborough. Pats and Chargers, 617-779-7937. That's how you get in touch all day long with Jones and Keith. It's Tier Tuesday, tearing off NFL playoff teams at 11:30. Tommy Tuesday with Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston at high noon, and a Kiefer Madness for you at 12:45. Billy Lanny with all the latest in trending, and when we come back, how sustainable is the Patriots' success? That's next.
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search, then download Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
From the last year, the Patriots won four games, you signed here in free agency, you guys ended up winning 14. Did you expect to have this type of success this first year?
Not going to lie, no, I didn't. And I really didn't know what to expect. You know, I just come in, try to work every day, listen to what my coach telling me, and just feed into this team, feed into the young guys, and just trying to be a good vet for those guys. And we had a lot of success. Like I said, we put on tape what works, and we just gotta keep doing it.
I love Milton Williams, the milkman, who I think we're gonna talk to on Friday. I don't want to promise anything.
Fingers crossed.
But he's in our Patriots Friday guest rotation.
That's right.
He's back from IR. We haven't talked to him in eons.
It's been a month.
And he gets asked yesterday, hey, do you guys think you were going to be this good this year? Because you asked Hunter Henry, Keith,
yeah,
on the surprise scale.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, how surprised are you? You're 11-2 or whatever it was at the time. He's like, oh, I'm not.
Not.
I forget his answer. I forget the number.
Five, maybe.
Yeah.
It was low.
It was exceptionally low
on the scale.
And Milton Williams is like, do you think you'd be this successful? He's like, nah, I'm going to be honest with you guys. Like, no, did not.
I came here for the money. He left the Super Bowl winning team. He left the best defense in the league, probably, and signed for a lot of money. And they're the 2 seed in the AFC. No, nobody thought they were going to be the 2 seed. All the optimistic people, and I would include myself in there, were like, wild card team. Maybe they're one of the wild card teams with like 10 wins. They win 14 and lose out on the number 1 seed by a tiebreaker. So, yeah, nobody saw that coming. I appreciate his honesty.
No, me too. Yeah. I like that out of him. He's a straight shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked to Christian Ellis yesterday. If you missed any of it, it's on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone. It's free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You won't miss a second of Jones and Keefe, so get that now. But Christian Ellis is like raving about Milton Williams yesterday. And he's like, we have guys who came in from other places that knew how to win. And I think
like how he was like, there's also guys I'd never heard of.
Yeah.
Or he was like,
yeah,
running all
he's
kinds
like,
of
guys
players
I never heard of, which I love. I do love thinking about that. It's like, they're like, how many people do you think heard of you there, Christian?
Well, listen, what goes around comes around.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, when we're talking about the reason for the turnaround, I would not have this guy up with Vrabel and May, maybe even Kraft, who spent the money on Milton Williams. But Milton Williams, for the culture change and, like, turning things around in the leadership, he should probably be right there with Diggs.
Well,
like,
so
we talk about Diggs a lot more than we talk about him. He should be on that list of important people who had a big impact on the turnaround culture-wise.
Yeah, I agree. I also think when you do spend big money in free agency, and, I mean, like, for the team, right, there are obviously bigger free agents out there than the NFL, but I think how that guy does is a pretty good barometer. So, like, Adalys Thomas is a good example. Like, Adalys Thomas was, like, a big splash. And, like, that sent a message, and it was, like, wasn't very good. And it kind of, like, fizzled out. Stephon Gilmore was another one where, at first, it didn't look great, and then it was awesome. He was Defensive Player of the Year, for God's sakes. But that was, like, a big-time investment, which they didn't typically do, right? In Bill's time here, two, three times, Roosevelt Colvin, like, a few times that they brought in guys.
Oh, yeah, like a one-off with Revis. There were not many of those.
There were not
yeah.
too many.
Yeah.
And even Revis, I don't think, got, like, the money. Like, it wasn't, like, the money commitment. That was sort of, like, a weird, like,
it was, like, a one-year deal.
Yes.
It was effectively a
one. And then he was gone.
Yeah. It was a one-year deal. I think they paid through the nose for a year, but it was 1 year.
But this one I look at even differently because this is year one of Mike Vrabel, and they had a big offseason. They spent money in free agency, and the guy that they spent the most money on was Milton Williams. And so if he's not a big hit, what does that end up looking like? But he was. He was everything you wanted him to be and more. The only knock really was that he had to miss a few games. But now he's back. So, yeah, no, he's been awesome and just another one of the reasons why the team was able to go from 3-4 wins to 14.
Nick informed, only 1 year, $12 million for Revis. So that's less than I thought.
Yeah,
it got him a 6-year, $96 million deal from the Buccaneers.
Yeah, and then he had that he had like an option or something in his deal for like $30 million. And I remember being like, pick it up. It's like he's long gone.
So, no, I agree. When you spend money and you spend it wisely,
yeah,
and that does set the tone.
Yeah, it's great.
I think there's a lot of that going on with this team. So he's a name we really didn't bring up, and we were talking about that yesterday. We're already getting a lot of feedback on who there's more pressure on and thoughts on this matchup for this weekend between the Patriots and the Chargers. Guys, I disagree. There's more pressure on the Patriots. They're the number two seed, so they're the team that has more pressure on them.
I don't think you can just base it off the seeds.
I don't either.
Right? Like, when you look around, I think it's somebody more like Justin Herbert who's had cracks at it. I think specifically him, and then therefore probably the team. Now, I do get the argument I saw on the text line that says because so many people are saying they have a weak schedule, and then the only reason why they're in the spot that they're in is because of the weak schedule, and then you play a real team and you lose, it's like, all right, I guess there's pressure in that sense.
Well, that's true.
I think you also have an opportunity to follow that up the next year,
you
right?
Do.
Like, but
if the Patriots go win 10 games next year, no one's going to talk about the schedule anymore.
Right, but if they lose to the Chargers,
but that's
go
a long
way.
You're like, wait a minute. You have to hear about it all offseason.
No, true, true.
So, like, I guess there's some pressure in that way. And I think Drake May, if you don't want to have people talking about, we probably won't hear in New England.
Yeah,
but if you don't want, you know, national media and football fans in other markets talking about Drake May, like all of you people talk about Lamar Jackson and Justin Herbert and some of these quarterbacks who get to the playoffs and don't win or don't win fast enough or don't win early enough, then don't let Drake May get on that list.
So I'm having an orgasm over Drake May.
Did I hear somebody texted that Susan called Bradfo while we were out? So maybe it was during, I think he was filling in mostly for Greg.
Oh, really? I didn't hear that.
She's ducking you guys?
Well, apparently, it was a straight text. It's always dangerous to listen to the text line, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah, okay.
The text line claimed that she's doing Best Shape of Your Life with Bradfo.
What does that even mean?
I think he's got like an Awaken 180 challenge going on.
Oh, okay.
Get in shape, set a goal by opening day of baseball season.
Oh, hell yeah. All right, nice. You get a few months to knock off some of the pounds?
Yeah.
Good.
Maybe Susan doesn't need to knock off pounds.
Have we seen a photo of Susan yet?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Maybe she's just going to add a little more tone, a little more muscle.
Have you guys seen a picture of Susan back there? No. We're getting...
I hate the media.
That's fine.
I bet she looks like
one of those. It's a broad brush, Susan, I'll be honest.
One of those ladies on Bob Ryan's timeline. One of those AI ladies.
Oh, I screwed that up yesterday. Nick told me I didn't scroll down far enough on Bob Ryan's.
Let's get to it later.
I'll update that in the grab bag.
If you could,
we have a juicy update on Bob Ryan's Twitter.
617-779-7937. More text here.
Real quick, I was just going to say, too, about, you know, good young quarterbacks and, you know, when they lose early and then that gets sort of attached to them versus when they win early, et cetera. The other thing is there's been so many comparisons with Drake May and Tom Brady, right? The last time they did this, that, and the other thing, it was when Tom Brady was the quarterback. You couldn't have a polar opposite start, right? Like, so Justin Herbert, 0-2 in the playoffs. Tom Brady, I think, was 10-0.
Correct.
Before he lost his first,
He went 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, and then won a game the next year before losing in Denver? In Denver.
Probably, yeah. But, like, so that's the other thing. Like, nobody starts their career that way. But that just goes to show you, like, the extreme opposite. And then, like, yeah, you're just always a winner no matter what happens. Peyton Manning fought it most of his career, right? Because he would – a lot of early exits. Even still, I think, barely over 500 in his time as a quarterback in the playoffs.
Josh Allen's won a bunch of playoff games. People talk about Josh Allen like he's a loser because he hasn't won a Super Bowl yet.
Right.
So, I mean, that'll start sticking to May real quick. Text line, I actually don't like the matchup with the Chargers.
What?
Number one, they came in here last year and whooped our ass. I want to get to that in a second.
That was a different team, I feel like.
They have the
Patriots team.
Top five defense, and they have a great offense with a good running back.
So I don't know if they have a top five defense. I mean,
their
I guess,
defense has been playing very well of late. That is true.
So based on the numbers, now again, maybe you could find a number that would say that they are. Just based on points, just general points, right, through 17 games.
Patriots allow fewer points per game, right?
Yeah, I was going to tell you the Chargers are ninth in defense. Last year, this time, they were number one in defense, so they got a little bit worse. Their offense is 20th. Last year, they were
11th. Yeah, so I think the Chargers' defense is good, but I prefer the Patriots' offense. Like, I think the better unit is the Patriots' offense compared to the Chargers' defense. Yeah. We'll see. I don't think the Chargers have a very good offense. And I think
they can't
protect Herbert, and they don't run it as well as you would think. Harbaugh wants to run it. Roman wants to run it. They don't run it as well as you'd think. So,
yeah, for all the talk about Drake May getting sacked and being up there towards the top of the league with Cam Ward and Geno Smith, at the end of the year, Justin Herbert was sacked more than Drake May, and he didn't play as many games. He had sacked, I think it was 7 more times and played one fewer game.
Yeah, and look, I...
7!
Thank you.
I think, you know, the offense... I mean, again, they're down Alt. They're down... Slater hasn't played all year. Alt is banged up all year, in and out.
Everybody on the offensive line, and then some more people on the offensive line.
But it's a huge difference.
But still, I mean, on some level, the sacks are going to be on the quarter. Like, that amount of sacks is on the quarterback on some level. It starts with the O-line, but on some level, that's some of him as well. So, yeah, I'm not afraid of the Chargers' offense. That doesn't scare me. As bad as the Patriots' defense looked at times on Sunday, that doesn't scare me. I think the better unit for the Chargers is on the other side of the ball. Less their offense, even with a name like Herbert coming in. You don't factor in last year's matchup at all?
The only thing I would say is
40-7, right, was the final in that one?
The only reason I would even factor that in, because the team is so different. There are so many different players. The coaching staff is different. Like, all of it is different. But I would at least say Justin Herbert now has some success against a Patriots team, because Justin Herbert got destroyed all the time. Even the bad Patriots teams with Bill Belichick, they would beat Justin Herbert and they would Herbert look bad, which is another reason why people around here think Herbert stinks, is because he would always have like his worst game against the Patriots.
Yeah, it was one of them. Was it like 6-0 in the rain against like Bailey Zappi? It was like they.
It was gross. He won that game, right?
Yeah, you know, he won it, but it was like awful.
You're like, what is that?
Yeah, and then so you're last year was a real, actual strong performance against the Patriots. That was Mayo, and it was a bad team. It wasn't Belichick at his defense. No. But yeah, maybe that's some of it.
That's part of it. He's 2-2 in his career, Herbert is, against the Patriots. His quarterback rating is 72.8.
Yeah, it's horrible.
And you look at most of the other teams he's played against, it's all over 100. It's like one of the worst teams he's played against is the Patriots. So at the very least, I guess he could say he hasn't had all bad games against them. But no, I mean, almost everything is different about this year's Patriots team.
617-779-7937. How you feeling about the matchup on Sunday? Who has more pressure on them? And again, the Patriots going against the Chargers. I don't factor in a lot of last year's matchup either, although the Chargers did come in here and whoop up on the Patriots. Who is the biggest threat to the Pats? We're not afraid of the Chargers. Who is the biggest threat to the Pats? We can get into that with all your phone calls coming up next.
Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
But if he asked you to state your case for the award, what would you say your case is to be the NFL MVP?
Cool. I appreciate that, Ted. I think just our team, 14-3, winning the AFC East in a year that a lot of people, would have bet on us not to. I think that's what this league's about, winning. And I think, from there, just, ability to spread the ball around and try to get a lot of teammates involved is what I enjoy to do. I think we did that this year, and looking forward to hosting a home playoff game. So,
how was Drake May yesterday on WEEI Afternoons? If you missed any of it, Odyssey app, AUDACY. You can get it on your phone. Free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You can hear Drake May. You can hear Mike Vrabel. You won't miss a second of Jones and Keefe. Again, Odyssey app. That's a lot of what he said the day before about, 14 wins and, this is what I'm most proud of, except he was making his case there in the MVP debate. I heard a decent amount of Greg and Wiggy and Courtney and everyone arguing about this morning, Ty Law in with them. Greg seems to think that Brady was going with Matt Stafford in the MVP discussion on some level for being a little threatened by Drake May coming in and breaking his completion percentage.
I didn't read it that way originally, but I also, maybe. Like, why not? Because, like, that's pretty quick, right, to turn around and be like, oh, the guy that took over, not for me right away, but only a couple years later, and they have another MVP candidate or winner? Maybe there could be a little bit of that. I thought it was more like the quarterback club thing.
See,
where you're like,
that's also what I think.
Stafford's been through the grind. I'm going with the old guy. Like, I like the old guys
but
playing.
But that hadn't occurred to me about, like, sour grapes from Brady. I hadn't really thought about that. It could be. My guess is it's more what
like
you
veterans
think it
looking
is.
Down. Not looking down, but, like, rookies and second year guys, like, you'll get your turn. Like, well, it's not your turn.
And him and Stafford on some level are contemporaries. Like, they played against each other. Yeah. Like, I would imagine there's some relationship there
but
in the quarterback
also heard
club. It's not that there's zero with Drake May, but right. I'd imagine there's more of that going on.
Yeah. But you also heard what Brady did with the when he was asked about it. He was like hyping up McDaniels too, which is clearly like his guy. It'd be more interesting if it was like Stafford or Mahomes. And what would Brady say? Because, like, if Mahomes was in line for another MVP, would he be like, no, it's definitely Stafford. Like, I'd read more into that, honestly, than him saying it's not Drake May.
Yeah. I mean, look, we've made our case. I think Drake May should be MVP. He did, in a lot of ways, more with less.
I mean, definitely with less.
He won more. No, I'm saying in a lot of ways he did more.
He did.
He had fewer total touchdowns, but he was closer in total touchdowns than passing touchdowns. Stafford had him in passing touchdowns. He had the edge in rushing touchdowns and overall.
Well, Shime had a good point this morning, and that when they were talking about it, and I think or Wiggy, they were talking about it together. Where like, if it wasn't Stafford, right? Let's say Jared Goff or CJ Stroud or a player like that.
I think Stroud's the perfect name, and that's who they came up with because he's a younger quarterback, also early in his career. Yeah.
But I think even Goff, because Goff doesn't, like, Stafford's looked at in a completely different light, and part of it was McVay trading those guys straight up for each other, then winning a Super Bowl with Stafford. People, like, love Matthew Stafford. He's moving up the all-time ranks in touchdown passes and yards, and every week he's moving up those things. If it was somebody like Jared Goff, he'd be like, oh, he led the league in touchdown passes. That's nice. Good for you. But it doesn't mean you're the MVP, because that's really the one stat that he has. And it's a big stat. It's a great stat. I love touchdown passes. But when it's like wins, total yards, yards per play, completion percentage, quarterback rating, doing it with less. Bill Barnwell had a great breakdown actually on ESPN about why Drake May should be the MVP. And one of the reasons was everyone's like, oh, the strength of schedule, blah, 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 blah. He's like, but if you look at the passing defenses faced, and we talked about this in real time because we were like, the Cleveland Browns
suck. Are a bad team.
Their defense
is good.
Myles Garrett sacked them 5 times. Right. Like, so they have the defensive player of the year. And that's so if you want to take it one step further, because everyone's like, oh, you guys are so dumb. They didn't play anybody good. They played a lot of good pass defenses. I think half his games were against some of the best pass defenses in the league.
The passing defenses that Stafford and May faced are a lot closer than the overall strength of schedule, was Barnwell's
point. And then Barnwell also pointed out, too, in those games against those teams, Drake May is way better than everybody else who played him, including Stafford.
So the common
opponents...
There's
so many reasons why it's Drake May. I mean,
that's why he's the MVP!
The common opponents...
I agree.
Between the two of them, and I can find this if you want, but this is floating around over the last week or two. The common opponents between May and Stafford. Forget who they played. Just look at the two teams when they played them both. You know, Carolina and teams like this, who Stafford lost to, by the way. Mm-hmm. If you look at the common opponents that they faced this year, May had better production against the same teams. So level the playing field as much as you can.
Yeah, he was 6-0 in those games. Stafford was 4-2 in those
games. Thank you. And the statistics were advantageous to May as well. So I think he should win MVP. You think he should win MVP. Most of New England thinks he should win MVP.
Yeah, I mean, I know we're preaching to the choir here, but I did find it pretty interesting the breakdown that Barnwell had for it, right? Because it's easy for us, but I don't know. He had some pretty convincing numbers, like passing touchdowns. You're right. That is one of them. Now, 13 of them from the 1 yard line to Devontae Adams. Sean McVay clearly trying to go for something. I'm sure the running backs love the play calling down there. Whatever. Like, that is something. But also, wins. Like, we put the importance of wins on quarterbacks all the time. So if we're going to keep doing that, apply it to the MVP race. I don't think that's the be-all, end-all, right? I'm not saying if, you know, Bo Nix should be an MVP candidate because their team won 14 games. But when it's close between a couple candidates, I think it's more than a good tiebreaker.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I mean, May was able to win his division against Josh Allen.
Yeah.
And Stafford wasn't able to do that against Sam Darnold.
Correct.
And it's not. That's about the team, too. That's not just about Stafford and just about May.
Another thing that should factor against Stafford, and this happens in all sports, but this is also from Barnwell, so I don't know if this guy's going to win, but his offensive player of the year was Puka Nacua. And in the NBA, that happens all the time where, like, you know, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum might not have gotten as much credit for what they were doing the last handful of years because they had each other on the team.
It's 1,000% worked against Tatum when it comes to MVP conversations because he's had stacked teams.
Right, because Jokic doesn't even – I like Jamal Murray, but I don't think he's ever even been an all-star. So, like, Jokic is, like, he's like doing it by himself, so he gets more credit. Fine, whatever. But Drake May doesn't have Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams on his team. So if you're going to use that, that's just like another thing you can add on in favor of Drake May.
So, I mean, again, we all here think that Drake May should win it. I'm bracing for him to lose.
And do you think it'll be close?
No. And I think it's for exactly what you said. It's if you did a blind resume, and this is what Shine was saying this morning, and you just looked at it, May has the better resume. He just does. What is factoring into it is the narrative, the storyline, you know, Stafford's career. And
too many guys
think
lifetime achievement, which is insane.
Yeah. And Stafford doesn't deserve the lifetime achievement treatment. Like Mahomes or Brady or somebody like that does. Stafford's not that good. People are acting like Stafford's in that club.
Yeah.
Stafford's basically, he's like a little better than Phil Rivers.
Like, you like him, like, better than your guy Joe Flacco, at least?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I'll take him over Joe Flacco.
I wasn't sure. I just want to be
the irony
insane.
Is,
especially bigger Jones.
The irony is I'm actually the one who likes Stafford. You're the one who hates him.
Yeah, I don't like Stafford.
But, you know, but Stafford is, like, not in this, like...
He's, like, not even in my top five in the league right
now. People want to put him in, like, the Rodgers, Brady, Mahomes. Like, they're treating him like he's that. He's not that.
No.
He's not even close to that.
No. He probably will be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, probably.
Because right? He's going to win this MVP. He's won a Super Bowl.
Is he in your Hall of Fame?
No. I'd have to double check. I'd have to look at the numbers again.
We're small hall guys.
Oh, notoriously.
But does he win the MVP or not?
Is he better than Drew Brees? If he wins the MVP.
I do think Stafford is better than Brees.
Yeah, and I
do think
so
that.
Now I'm kind of boxing into a corner because I have Brees in the Hall of Fame.
We have to put him in the Hall.
Yeah, I guess Stafford is a Hall of Famer.
With an MVP.
If he wins the MVP, yeah. Which he shouldn't.
Yeah.
It's very confusing.
Thank you. We settled.
All right, but if there's 50 first place votes to be handed out, like, how many do you think he gets?
42.
42? You think he gets 42?
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. I mean, that's wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I hope it doesn't play out that way, but
I wonder if enough voters.
What do you think?
33-17.
Okay.
Is that the math?
Yeah, that sounds right. I would consider that close.
Yeah, I think it might be.
Like, May gets that many votes, I'd be like, okay, like, a lot of people got it.
Well, there'll be two New England writers, right?
There's two.
Yeah. But I wonder if enough people, not to just, you know, go crazy about this, but if enough people saw the Bill Barnwell breakdown where there's just so many different stats and so many examples and, like, getting into the defenses that he's faced. So, like, ignore the fact that the Falcons and the Browns and the Saints and teams like that missed the playoffs. What do their pass defenses tell you? Like, those are good. Those are tough matchups for the quarterback, and he succeeded against all of them. So if they take that into account, maybe it'll change some minds, and then maybe it'll be closer.
617-779-7937. You can discuss the MVP debate. We've talked about it really for weeks and weeks, months and months. Now it's down to two candidates. I think I know how most of you feel. How do you feel about Brady and his stance on Matt Stafford? We talked a little bit about it yesterday. I thought Greg had an interesting perspective on it this morning. So that's the first hour on Pats, Chargers, MVP race, AFC playoff field, all that. You can still talk about it. Again, it's 617-779-7937. We are going to get into the Celtics, who stay hot.
Woo!
They keep on winning. Jaylen Brown thinks very highly of himself. Let's get to all of that next.